Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to weight others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Don't let them entities take up your home. Cause you're the entity that made them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. Haters wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. They sweep it under rug. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask for grace, and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo. Since I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.
Welcome, 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 welcome. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, September the 7th, Friday, September the 7th of 2018. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brother, today, my sister, we want to piggyback off of yesterday's show and the day before that and the day before that and the day before that. We're on this metaphysical theme, and it's been rolling. It's been rocking and rolling ever since I came back from California. You know, once the brain has been expanded, it can't shrink back. I cannot unsee what I've seen. I can't unsee it. I've seen it already. So it's a wrap, boo-boo. I cannot unsee what I've seen. So today we want to talk about, we already talked about the metaphysics of giving and receiving through silent thought projection. We talked about how you send out your thoughts, and your thoughts are regurgitated back to you in the form of reality. Everything in your reality is what you are sending out with your mentality. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Everything that you are experiencing in your reality is what you are sending out with your mentality. So we broke that down. And then we got into understanding the metaphysics of struggle. And like, nobody should be struggling no more, especially if you are a melanated individual. Use free now, boy. Use free. slavery is over, homie. So the metaphysics of effort and struggle, stop trying. Just do, boo-boo. Just do. Do or die. And we broke down the metaphysics of understanding that struggle is effort laced with emotion. The reason you're struggling is because you're emotional. And the reason that you're emotional is because you're thinking dead shiznits, because you're reading dead books and you're hanging out with dead people or sheeple. Thus, struggle. Struggle is a man-made construct. It's not a kingdom's construct, brother. Struggle is anti-kingdom. Struggle is a part of the anti-kingdom. It's not part of the kingdom. Then we talked about yesterday the metaphysics of influence and affluence. Oh, man, what I've seen, I cannot unsee. What I experienced, I cannot unexperience. What I felt driving through the streets of Northern California last week, I cannot unfeel those feelings. So it's open season on ruling dispositions. I'm just putting that out there. Like the devil's in hiding. The kingdom is here. The king and his kingdom is here. The metaphysics of influence and affluence. See, you have been given influence so that way you can be affluent. You have influence. You got abundance, brothers. You got abundance, sisters. We talked about it yesterday. We broke it down. We broke down that metaphysics of influence. God is influencing you so that way you can experience his affluence on earth. That's what I saw in California. I cannot unsee what I seen. See, most of us don't understand the difference between influence and affluence. And most of us don't even understand that that's the normal state of the kingdom. Normal. That is the normal disposition of the kingdom. It is normal. That is the normal disposition of the kingdom. It is common. Like in Great Britain is a commonwealth. Notice that the wealth is common. That is the metaphysics of being an influencer, so that way you can experience the affluence of the kingdom. Because the kingdom is omnipotent. It's all potency. It's all power. And then that brings us to today's message. After we went through all of the metaphysics. So today we want to talk about the metaphysics of kingdom living. Today we're talking about the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, organization I started. The first organization I started a long time ago. It's just been sitting on the shelf collecting dust. About time to take it down and dust it off. The Father said it's showtime. It's time to establish the kingdom. And so in order to establish the kingdom living, we have to establish the kingdom mindset. And so today, my brothers and sisters, I need to break down Revelation chapter 21. I need you to strap in. It's going to be a smooth ride. But I need you to be strapped in because it's going to be so powerful that you might just vibrate on about a chunk. And you got things to do, so you can't leave yet. Is that not yet, boo-boo? I know you're ready, but I know you want to transfigure on into the spirit realm, but we got some physical things yet to accomplish. So before you go, let's go ahead and let's establish the new heaven and the new earth. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, in the New International Version, it goes something like this. In the New International Version, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." So the new heaven is the new head, and the new earth is the new body. Now Jesus says, now Jesus, when he died, he came back and said, "Touch me not, I have not ascended to the Father." Now, we don't know what we shall be, but according to the scriptures, we're going to be like him. So whatever Yahushua did, and that's what you're supposed to be doing today. So today, we're going to establish the mindset of Yahushua. Today, from today forward, you get to walk and talk and breathe like Yahushua the HaMashiach. It's this new way of thinking. See, the kingdom is a place of no compromise. The kingdom is a place of can do. The kingdom is a place of already done. Now let me make sure that we go through these three keys to the kingdom so that way you can over and that way you can under and that way you can understand. Now I know it's going to be contrary to your theology, but I need you to understand. See, in the kingdom, it's a place of no compromise. In the kingdom, it's a place of can do. In the kingdom, it's a place of already done. See, the kingdom is a place where the answer is always yes. God is omnibenevolent. He's always yes. Heavenly Father, I want to be already done. Heavenly Father, I want to be already done. Can do. Heavenly Father, I want to have wisdom already done. See, the answer is always yes. See, in the kingdom, God makes me look God. Make sure you understand, because in the kingdom, it's the king, and the king has dominion over your dome. That's what's called the king's dome or the king's dominion. So in the king's dominion, there is a new heave or a new head up. Heave up heaven. And then there is a new dirt suit. See, your old dirt, flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we're going to take all flesh and blood. See, corruptibility cannot put on incorruptibility. So the new earth, that's a new dirt. So you got a new dirt suit. Because then for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer no sea. So the sea is this group or this mass. Right now we have 6 billion, 6, 7 billion people on the planet. Then verse 2 says in Revelation chapter 21, I saw the holy city and the new Jerusalem. So I've already broke down the holy city. Y'all remember that? It's inside of my book, The Biology of the Temple. So inside of my book, I talk about the human cell and how the human cell is the holy cell, and the cell is a city. So one cell in the human body is equal to one city in the new kingdom. Now, let me make sure you understand, because the tabernacle of the human cell, one. Now, the question is how many cells do you have inside the human body? So each cell in the human body is a little city. So the cell is the city, and now there's a new cell. So the neutrinos that's been released by the sun, these neutrinos has established a new nucleus, and this new nucleus is producing new clay. And this new clay is producing a new cellular membrane. And so your cellular membrane now and the cells inside of the body, the nucleus, the mitochondria, the ribosome, the ganglia, the plasma membrane, the cytoplasm, everything inside of the cell now is taking on spiritual connotation, or is taking on spiritual attributes. Now, we don't know what we shall be, but we shall be like him. So right now, the human cell is a rotating, holy, super hydrogen light creating plasma Kirka, a circle. Somebody should write that down. Now, I don't know if you understand. I can't get into the metaphysics of it right now because, again, it just blow your cookies. I'm going to be teaching all of this in 2019 when I roll out the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. But for today, let me give you an introduction to what's going to be taught in the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. So inside of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, we're going to break down using biology to establish your new theology. See, the new theology of the kingdom is based upon the king's dominion inside of your dome or inside of your body. So we're going to break down what it talks about in 1 John chapter 25, verse 42. And we're going to get you to understand that there's a glow that is around the human cell right now as I'm speaking. Now, you can go to any Clarion photographer and let them take a picture of it, and they will show you this photosynthesis. And it's important, my brothers and sisters, to understand, because that's the new kingdom that we're talking about. But what you got to understand is the mindset that establishes this new kingdom. See, right now, I stopped, I was saying yesterday, this is, you know, the reason my wife called me Tommy is, you know, and Martin, Tommy was the character that Tommy didn't have no job. So my wife tell me all the time, yo, nigga, you ain't got no job. She said, Tommy, you ain't got no job. And so there's a joke going around the house because she always called me Tommy because, you know, she said, I ain't got no job. And she's right. I don't work. I ain't worked in 10, 15 years and don't plan on starting no time soon. See, God makes me look God. Now, if you add another O, if you add the kucker, if you add the sale in the G-O-D, you get G-O-O-D. See, God makes me look good. See, I got a seminar going coming up. It starts it's September 29th. At least I think that's what I said. Did I say 29th? Yeah, 29th. So, like, how much money did I spend on advertising? What was my budget? Zero. Marketing, zero. Promotion, zero. Publication, zero. Printing, zero. What's my cost? Okay, when I produce books, how much money do I set aside for budgeting? Zero. This show, how much am I spending? Zero. So I don't have no cost. See, I just show up and God shows out. That's the metaphysics of kingdom living. See, I need you to come on over to the kingdom side, my brother. See, you working too hard. Like, I know you like your job. I'm not saying you keep working your job, but change your mindset. Because remember, whatever you send out in mind, that's what you're going to manifest in your reality. So it is the mind. It is that mental disposition. That's why I beg you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the metaphysics of kingdom living, this is how you establish the kingdom of God on earth. The way that you establish the kingdom of God on earth is that you allow God to operate in you. That way he can manifest himself through you. So we have God in us. He's operating as us, and he's manifesting himself through us. Okay, Brother Will, I've heard that before, but what's the metaphysics behind it? What is the meta? Meta means before. Physics means physical. So before the physical shows up, what do I got to do? Great question, man. I'm glad you asked. Number one, no compromise. Now, I met with a new spiritual partner today. And first time I've ever talked to this person, and he was recommended or set up or encouraged by another person of mine who's actually a client of mine. And so during this conversation, you know, one of the things that the client said, or I should say client because she's not a client, but, you know, a fellow light worker. So we're both light workers. We're both establishing the kingdom of God on earth. And, you know, this person's way of establishing the kingdom of God, at least I thought, was different from mine. And it's like when I went to California and I met these, you know, people that, you know, that I remember my first encounter with. I said, oh, man, look at these bougie black folks. You know, that was just my, you know, ghetto mentality. Because y'all know I'm from the hood. I keep it real. But I had to understand the mind. Because that mindset was greater than mine. And it wasn't greater from a spiritual perspective. It was greater from a kingdom perspective, meaning they understood kingdom principles. Now, I was introduced by my mentor, Dr. Miles Monroe. All he taught me was kingdom principles. And he used to tell me all the time, man, you got to have kingdom principles before you can have kingdom living, because these are kingdom laws. And so what Dr. Miles Monroe taught me, I want to share with you today. And this is what I experienced in California. So kingdom living is a mindset. So it's a spiritual disposition. And I was talking with this fellow light worker today, and this person told me that when you speak, that tone in your voice, which I've been saying this for 25 years, but to hear it confirmed from someone who never talked to, who never heard me speak, at least to my knowledge, and that I don't know, she talked about something that I've had since birth, and that was, and I've told you guys before, bulldog tenacity. Now, I'm not a very athletic individual. I'm not a very tall guy, you know. I'm not a very muscular guy. Some people say I am, but I don't really see it when I compare myself to, like, big guys. So I don't consider myself I'm not a very intelligent person, as you guys know. I'm a functionally illiterate. I'm not a musician. I can't sing. If you read my book, you know I'm not a great writer. I don't really have no skill set. I'm not really a very talented individual. You know, so as a kid growing up, I knew that. So this wasn't – so when other people, you know, text me and tell me, what, you know, Brother Will, like, you're not like all that, brother. I'm like, okay, you kind of late to the party, homie. Like, I'm not like – I had my brother Glenn. Like, my brother Glenn was like, you know, he was a world-class athlete, You know, he graduated top, you know, 10 in his class. He could have went to any school. He could have walked. He could walk on. I mean, one time we went just, you know, trial for football. We was in active duty military. We just went in and just walked on to, you know, University of San Diego. Just go out there and just walk on. See, I didn't have that. See, when I was a freshman, I enrolled in my freshman year. The same height and weight that I entered in is the same height and weight when I graduated. So I'm kind of the run. So why am I saying all that? I'm trying to get you to see kingdom living. See, when others saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king. And so without getting too emotional, I need you to understand. I need you to understand. I was never picked as the most likely to succeed. I was never voted prom king. In fact, I ain't never won nothing in my life. Everything I've gotten one way and one way only. Bulldog tenacity. Now, you can get in fight it with me, and you can mop the floor with me. But unless you put a bullet two in my skull, I'm coming back. Guaranteed. And you better make sure you stand there and watch me bleed out. And make sure, you might want to put an extra couple of rounds in just to make sure, because you know, I've came back from dead a few times already. See, in the kingdom, anything's possible. See, that's where I'm from. See, where I'm from, my resolve, I was talking to, again, a fellow light worker this morning. I never met this person ever in my life. And she says, when you speak, you give everybody else hope. See, that's all I got. I'm a one-trick pony. I'm like Dominic Wilkins back in the day. I just got my right hand. That's it. But I'm going to slam on you with this right hand. I don't care what you do. You can't stop this right hand. It's a wrap. See, that's the kingdom. See, in the kingdom, there's no compromise. In the kingdom, it's just a can-do attitude. In the kingdom, there's a culture of possibilities. In the kingdom, there's grit and determination. In the kingdom, it's already done. In the kingdom, there's no such thing as no. In the kingdom, there's no such thing as impossible. In the kingdom, there's no such thing as, oh, it might, oh, I wish, I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to ponder it. In the kingdom, there ain't no such thing as freaking struggle. In the kingdom, ain't no such thing as crying and begging and pleading. And, oh, God, please, now all that bullshitness is out. That's old school. That died with Lucien Farr. But you see, we still got this old religion still hanging around. We got this old mindset where Negroes got this old slave narrative where you out there slinging them old Negro spirituals. Now, see, homie, I know I'm touching some nerves right now. I feel you, boo-boo, but, yeah, I ain't no slave no more. See, I's free now, boy. I's free. You free, too. But most Negroes, they still got this slave mindset where they need an authority. They need a covering. They need somebody to pray over them. They can't go out and do nothing unless the master says it. Well, brother, did the pastor say you could go do that, brother? Well, you know what? I'm my own pastor. What about you? Now, I need you to understand now, there's no disrespect to no systems or no thoughts, but you see, I need you to understand that with the trial comes the promotion. As you understand that God makes me look God. How about you? See, God makes me look good. I wish I could stand up here before you and say I'm this linguistical genius. I can barely speak the English language. I wish I could say that I'm this man of great stature. You know, I'm barely 5'5". I wish I could say that I was this muscle-bound, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day, but I'm just a little dude. I wish I could say that I was I'm a descendant of the Rockefellers or the Kennedys or some other, you know, I wish I could talk about my, you know, that I had the Rothschild or the Red Shield. But, yeah, if I go to Britain, they're going to say send them to the dungeon. I wish I could say that I have royal blood. I don't even got old blood. I wish I could say, I have blonde hair and blue eyes, but, you know, I got little beady eyes, and they surely not, they ain't blue. You know, I wish I had, you know, some worldly attributes and or characteristics and, you know, fat bank account or, you know, this or that or other to gather this influence. But when I speak, like when they saw Yahushua, they said, hey, isn't that the carpenter's son? And they said it like when people hear me, like, oh, isn't that a little black dude from Forest, Texas? Called himself Master Teacher 33. Who the hell he think he is? See, they told Yahushua the same thing. They're like, hold up. We know that dude. If we walk around talking about, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand, who did he think he is? And then they said, why is he speaking like one who has authority? Like, where did he get it from? See, the same place where Yahushua got his authority from, that's where I got mine. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, there is no compromise in the kingdom. There is no compromise in the kingdom. We don't negotiate. There's no pact between lions and men. I'm a lion. So when a lion, see, the reason that, see, people look at the lion's teeth, people look at the lion's mane, the male lion especially, people look at the lion's size. But you know what makes the lion an effective hunter? This is scientifically proven. When a lion roars, the sound that the lion releases, it produces a chemical in its prey body that neutralizes the fight and flight response. It produces lactic acid. Y'all ever know, I don't know if y'all are any athletes, and you ever run an open quarter. I run an open quarter once in practice. And I'm going to tell the coach, I would never run that event ever again. I would quit the team. So they say, okay, run the 330s. So I ran the 330s. Even though I was a short guy, I ran the hurdles because I wasn't running no open quarter. I don't know if you know anything about running open quarter. That's my favorite race. When I watch track and field, I love to watch the mile relay. It's always the last event. You got four quarter horses. You got four men. And you got one stick. And there's usually seven of them. Everybody got a lane. And everybody won one lap around the track. That's a quarter. Now, I don't know if you know anything about an open quarter, but it's a strategic sprint. It's not a jog, unless you're going to finish last. It's a sprint. Now, I don't know if you ever tried to sprint 440 yards or 400 meters. If you don't, go to the track today. After today's show, I want you to go to the track, and I want you to get on the track, and I want you to take off running full speed, and I want you to sprint all the way around and see how that works out for you. And see what happens right around the 330 mark. Now, at the 330 mark, that's when they say that's when the bear gets on your back. Now, great quarter horses. I remember watching Michael Johnson back in the Olympics. He rode open quarter. Dude ran like, what, 44, 45? I don't know, some craziness. That's crazy. That's like 222s. Just to run a 21, 22, 23, 220, that's almost world class. To do it twice, oh man, that's otherworldly. But let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. Because see, when you run the open quarter, when you get to the 330 mark, all energy leaves your body. I don't know what it is. Every open quarter runner knows this. Y'all know. I remember my sons. I told them, hey man, y'all would be good quarter runners. Both of them ran it once like me. Both of them like me. See, hey. The sins of the father passed down to the son. Both my sons ran the quarter once. Both of them said, Dad, I would never run that race again, ever in life. And I said, I'm not, especially my youngest son, Kendrick, because he was taller, he was lean. I said, Kendrick, dude, you'd be good at the 440, man. See, I was trying to hype him up. I already knew what was going to happen. My son, BJ, was a little smarter. He was like, he didn't even run it. He just said, Dad, I'm just going to do field events. So BJ, you know, he just did the long jump, and, you know, he didn't even run. BJ was smart. Me and Kendrick, we was a little slow. So Kendrick, he got the 330 hurdles like me. You know, and we used to get smoked. But you know what? It was a fun event. Why am I telling this? See, the reason I'm telling you the story about the open quarter, because, see, the open quarter is the only race in track and field where the bear, when he gets on your back, that last 100 yards, I like watching dudes that, especially, they make it look easy, but you can see it in their face when they finish the race by how laborsome they breathe. That bear jumps on your back at the 330 mark. It's an invisible bear. He jumped, and it's like you running, but all of a sudden you got bricks on your ankles. And it's like somebody's pressing you down, and no matter how hard you breathe, you cannot get enough air in your lungs. And you're suffering from oxygen debt. And so the body produces lactic acid. The lactic acid, it tightens your muscles, and you start to cramp up. And you get a pain, you get a sharp pain in your back, and you're like, And then you're like, you're trying to breathe, and you're trying to get that last 100 because, you know, you don't want to come in dead last. You're trying to represent. And so you're running, you know, but you really just want to put off the track, but you don't want to quit. So you kind of push through it. See, that, my brothers and sisters, that bear that jumps on your back When a lion roars, that's released. Lactic acid is released inside the animals, so it prevents them from running. It slows them down. It makes it harder. Now, when I speak, when Yahushua speaks, it does the opposite. It empowers you to run, and it empowers you to keep going. So people ask me all the time, well, Brother Will, like, what do you do? Y'all know in the mornings, what I listen to? Myself. When I need motivation, I put on me. Now, you should be doing the same thing. See, your body responds to your voice. Now, after you listen to me, you should record yourself talking to yourself or repeating or saying scriptures to yourself. This is called self-talk. Now, I did a book 15 years ago called Faith Talk. And I did that when I was in college. When I was in college, I read the questions to myself, and then I listened to myself at night while I was sleeping, and I woke up the next day, and I would take the test, and I would always ace it. But if you asked me the answer to the question, I couldn't answer it. But when I took the test, I knew the answer. It was downloaded into my spirit because I heard my own self speak, because it was something about my vocal or my voice. Remember, the tone in your voice determines the speed of your choice. So in heaven, the metaphysics of the kingdom of heaven is the king's voice let me calm down. The king's voice is the frame that everybody lives in. Let me give you the scriptures. I know y'all are good Bible thumpers like me. Y'all don't believe what people say. Y'all need to hear what God said. So let me make sure you understand. Let's go back to the scriptures. Revelation chapter 21. Let me read verse 1 again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. So now remember, the city is the cell. Jerusalem is the mitochondria inside the cell, the nucleus. It come down out of heaven. That means the head. For God himself prepared a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Verse 3, Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now remember, the new heaven, the new earth, kingdom living is based upon your ability to hear that voice. Now, I don't know what you tapped into, boo-boo. I don't know who's your source. I don't know who the Reverend Dr. Bishop you're listening to. I don't know what you're doing, what you got going on in your world. That's just between you and God. But in the kingdom, there is only one king. And everybody listens to the king. See, the king establishes the person, establishes the place, and he gives you the position. See, I look good because God makes me look good. Everything I do, I take no thought. I have a seminar in Dallas, Texas on September the 29th. Most people I know that engage in any of the activities that I do, including today's message, including my trip to California. I just went to California, spent the whole week seeing people, walking in the kingdom. That means you live by faith. Now, I do not recommend this unless you know what you're doing. This is dangerous stuff. Why? Because you're going to get tested. Now, remember, the test is the promotion. Many people think the test is designed to make you fail. The test is designed for you to be elevated. Now, remember, the test, what was Yahushua's test? This is important. This is the voice. This is what you got to be tapped into. This is kingdom living. This is how you establish the kingdom of God on earth. This is why you keep repeating the test, because you think the test is pass or fail. You don't know it's a promotion. See, Jesus went to the cross. People think he died, and they think it's a sorrowful event. Jesus went to the cross, and he got promoted. Because where is he at right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercessions for you and me. Now, that I think that's a promotion. So when you experience a problem, you're like, oh, man. See, when I see problems, I say, yes, I'm getting ready to get promoted. Ooh, I'm getting another promotion. Damn, I just got promoted last week. I'm getting another promotion. More problems, more promotions. More promotions, more profit. More profit, more prosperity. More prosperity, more peace. So when I went to California and I was driving around and I was hanging out in Orange County and I'm seeing Lamborghinis, I'm seeing Porsches, I'm seeing Land Rovers, I'm seeing all of this stuff. I'm driving, we're riding right next to the sea. And then I'm seeing these oceans. I saw agriculture. Then I went downtown to Beverly Hills, to Hollywood, and I just saw mansions. All I saw was influence and affluence. And the father said, son, welcome home. You're in the kingdom. See, kingdom living is not what you think. I know what you think. You think, well, Brother Will, that sounds like a prosperity gospel message, brother. I know, boo-boo. I've been there, too. See, I came from that old slave narrative, too. Where if you pull, you know, poverty was next to godliness. Yeah, they sold me that bull crap, and it stuck for a while. That dog don't hunt no more. Well, what do you mean, Brother Will? Now, remember, God makes everything looks God. God only talks to other gods, meaning God makes everything look good because God is good. Now, let me make sure you understand. Let's go back to the scriptures, because it says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne. Where did the loud voice come from? It came from the throne, saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, let me calm down. Y'all know I get a little excited because, you know, like, I don't know, man. I tried to dumb myself down. I tried to. I tried to fit in the box. I wanted to play nice in the sand pit with all the other kids. I didn't want to be a little extra. And then I went to California. And my daughter called me. And my daughter reminded me of when she was a little girl. And I was driving through Santee. Lemon Grove, caught off by the sea, La Jolla. I don't know if you've ever been to La Jolla, California. Oceanside. And my daughter said, Dad, do you remember what you told me? Okay, I said I wasn't going to get emotional. So my daughter reminded me. Let me tell you how good God is. I don't know if y'all say, if God can do it for me, this is kingdom living, man. I'm trying to tell you, it's kingdom living. When my daughter was a little girl, we used to drive around La Jolla. Now, go to Google and type in La Jolla, California. It's a seaside coastal city. Right off of I-5. We used to drive through Del Mar. And stuff like that. I was in the military, I was in the Marines. We had up in Oceanside in Camp Pendleton. I started off at NSRD in San Diego. But I used to get into a convertible Bentley with a guy named Nick and his wife named Sandy. Now, I'm a 21-year-old E-nothing Marine, and I'm riding around La Jolla, California. I don't know if you've ever been to La Jolla, California. I recommend you look at just go to Google, type it in, and click on images. La Jolla, California. It's some, let's just say it's a very, like Orange County, which is where I went this weekend, or this past week. What am I saying? When God exposed that to me, and I exposed that to my daughter, I told my daughter that's where I'm going. And my daughter reminded me yesterday, and she said, Dad, you just went back home. So I experienced the power, the grace, the influence, and the affluence of the kingdom when I was a 21-year-old Marine driving in a convertible Bentley through the streets of La Jolla, California, buying and getting exposed to real estate at 21. And I'm a lot older than 21. See, I forgot all about that. And my daughter reminded me. But God was just taking me back. And as I was driving, all expense paid trip by people that don't know me, never seen me, for them to go in their pocket and see God in me, see worth and value. See, in the kingdom, there is no arguing. In the kingdom, there is no bickering. In the kingdom, there is no competition. In the kingdom, there isn't none of this bull crap that's going on in most churches today. Well, he said, and she said, oh, you know, she's flirting. Oh, he's cheating. No, that doesn't exist in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, everybody knows their purpose. In the kingdom, everybody knows their lane. In the kingdom, everybody has a can-do attitude. In the kingdom, everybody sees that it's already done. In the kingdom, everybody sees the king. In the kingdom, everybody knows that the cross is the boss. And everybody knows that you need to deny yourself. You need to pick up your cross, because that cross, that's your boss. You don't got no supervisor. You don't got no overseer. The Bible says, consider the ant, you sluggard, who neither has an overseer yet. It goes about his duties every day. That's the kingdom. You don't need no supervisor in the kingdom. There is no bosses in the kingdom. The cross is the boss. And the cross is where you go to get promoted. It's not where you go to die. Everybody runs to the cross in the kingdom. Everybody sees the power of the cross in the kingdom. Everybody knows it's about the king, and it's about the king's principles. It's about our Father who's art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is established in the will of the Father on earth. Every man and every woman and every child gladly lay down their little dream for the sake of the team. That's the kingdom. You lay down your individual dream because you understand that now you're a part of the team, of the king, of the team. I talked about this yesterday, and I mentioned it with one of my clients. I posted on my Facebook page today. Every conscious leader, especially in the African-American community that I know, they die broke and they die alone. Every athlete, everything. Look at Sammy Davis Jr. Look at Red Fox. Look at Delbert Blair. And the list and the names go on and on. You know, all conscious leaders, but it's primarily and especially within the African-American community. Why? There's no team. Everybody got a dream, but there ain't no freaking team. One standing alone is easily defeated. So the Father said, Negro, you better wake up. In the Bible it says, no, you're not that you are angels. I mean that you are gods. But you will die like men if you don't become a part of a team. Teamwork makes the dream work. Every Negro out here got a dream, but they're not a part of no team. That's not going to be my heritage. That's not the lineage. That's not what I'm leaving for my sons, my daughters. The metaphysics of kingdom living is realize that you must be a part of the team. See, I got trust issues. I don't trust nobody. I barely trust myself. I've always been a lone ranger. I've always done my own thing. And then God said, look at the conscious leaders before you, brother. There's a guy named by what's his last name? I know there's a John Henry Clark, another great African-American conscious leader. But the guy that I'm thinking about, Cole Cohanan, I think his last name is. I'm going to have to look it up. And he was another great, great man of God. Even Dr. Sadie, the way he went out. Dr. Sabi was stopped in the airport with $30,000 on him and detained. Where was his team? He was alone. Black man, are you listening? Black woman, are you listening? I don't care about your dream. you better build your team. One standing alone is easily defeated. Two standing back to back can conquer. But a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. See, there's something called the law of exponentiality. The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Notice the exponentiality of the law of large numbers. When I was in real estate, we talked about the law of large numbers. And it is this law of large numbers that is based upon statistics and provability, profitability, that is based upon, especially in insurance, the law of large numbers. So this is the theory that states that when you put a lot of large numbers together, there is a decline. There's an incline in the predictive power, and there is a decline in the observable loss. The law of large numbers states that when you got a group of people who are on the same team and they got the same dream, the predictive power increases. That's the kingdom. See, the kingdom operates on predictive power. Now, I need to break this down for you, because I don't know if you understand predictive analytics and understanding the validity of predictive programming, because that's what the Bible is. The Bible is a book that's based upon programming, but it's predictive because it's based upon the cycles or the calendars or astrophysics. That's why if you look at the stars, I can tell you what's going to happen. And so I have a system that's based upon the same system. It's based upon the law of large numbers. So I take the numbers that's inside of the body that's encapsulated inside of your name, that gives you your Dear Kinnear report, and based upon the predictive analytics, I can use predictive programming and establishes a predictive model that is based upon a predictive validity based upon the analytics by analyzing your numbers. Now, for some people, you don't understand the spirituality behind the law of large numbers. Now, this predictive programming states that a reoccurring element, notice my system is based upon frequently repeated, that's reoccurring. It produces an emotional charge, that's called electricity and magnetism, that does or establishes something inside of the psyche. Now, there was a guy way back called Alan Watt, W-A-T-T. So when you say what, I say what? So it's not what, it's what. So I would need to increase the wattage. And so Hollywood, and my boy that started Walt Disney, whose name is Walt Disney, he established something called phantasmagoria that is based upon the law of large numbers and the law of predictive programming. So when you watch a movie, you're watching a move me. Move. So I want to move you. How do I move you? I program you. How do I program you? I put stuff in front of you that is frequently repeated that produces an emotional charge. All governments work on that. Because that was established by Alan Watt. Don't believe me? Look it up. Triple Day to look it up. All the stuff that Alex Jones and David Icke talk about, where they get it from. David Icke is in Great Britain. Alex Jones is over here typing. Alex Jones. Everybody watch Alex Jones. But you know what he's talking about? Predictive programming. So the kingdom overrides predictive programming. That's the hive mind mentality. So in predictive programming, they understand that they're there from a psychological perspective. It is the implementation of a program by planting images in your skull repeatedly. And based upon predictive programming, I put those images in front of you, and I repeat them, and I put it inside of what you call a move me or a movie. And every time you go to the movies, I'm programming you. That's why it's called TV program. That's why you watch TV programming. The word TV means television. It means to transport a mental image in your head so that way it disrupts kingdom principles and the kingdom image that's in your head. So the Father is in you. He's operating as you, and he's manifesting himself through you. So inside of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, and what I'm going to be doing in 2019 is going to blow cookies. It's going to mess up theology because I'm going to go inside the body. And I got $10,000 if you can prove me wrong. $10,000, I'm just going to set it aside for you to see if you can prove me wrong. Not you, but, you know, people you know. So, Brother Will, what are you saying? Well, I'm talking about the Kingdom. Because inside of the Kingdom, the King honors his word above his own name. See, the Kingdom, the King, he did something. The King established heaven on earth. And I am a king's kid. I'm an ambassador. Now, ambassador is a person who represents his kingdom in a foreign land. Earth is a foreign land. Heaven is my home. So I've been sitting here by the king. I'm the king representative. You know my name, what it means in the Bible, in Hebrew? So my name means Bethesda. Now, to the average Joe, that means nothing. Let me tell you how powerful God is. Anybody, now, somebody, y'all need to tune in on this. Hopefully you've been listening, but you really need to listen to this. So my name, if you look it up in Hebrew, now, in my Dear Community Report, I do this for people who basically, some names have no, don't have a Hebrew meaning or connection. Sometimes it may be, you know, Arabic or it may be Latin or whatever. But my name has a Hebrew reference or root. So in Hebrew, my name is Bethesda. Now, just make sure you're following me. So now, Bethesda, when Moses received the Torah on Mount Sinai, he was given visions of a tabernacle. Now, this tabernacle is a tent-like structure where God's presence dwells. Now, this was called the Shekinah glory of God. So in the Shekinah glory only dwelled in the temple. So now remember, Moses received this pattern from God of a dwelling place for the Shekinah glory of God. Moses received it. But Moses, he didn't build it. Bethesda did. Bethesda didn't even build it himself. Bethesda was the chief architect of patterns that houses glories or glory of God. See, Bethesda was the grandson of Ur, H-U-R, who was, again, according to Antiquities, a book called Antiquities that was written by Josephus, chapter 3, verse 2. In the book of Antiquities, chapter 3, verse 2, it talks about, and it says that Bethesda and Moses' sister Miriam was given the task of establishing the temple for the dwelling of God's presence. Now, let me make sure you understand. Moses didn't build a temple in the Old Testament. Bethesda didn't deal it. Bethesda got the plans. Now, the name Bethesda actually means in the shadow. So the name Bethesda means him, he who dwells in the shadow of God. So let me show you understand where I'm going with this. Because Bethesda was an archetype, because he was an archetype. Now, an archetype means a pattern of something else that has a deeper substance. So according to the Talmud, Bethesda was 13 years old when he began building the tabernacle. He was chosen by God himself to help receive the plans by which to build the tabernacle that housed the Shekinah glory of God. What do I do all day, every day? I build people that houses the glory of the Shekinah glory of God. The same thing that my forefather, if you want to use that term, did, I'm doing. And I go to California, and I meet a man who's like a Moses, who has received a mandate from God. And I'm the architect. But he's the man that received the mantle. Moses stood before God. He had to take his shoes off because he was on holy ground. And God gave him a mandate to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But he took Bethesda with him. Because Bethesda has the architect. He had the plans by which to build the place that houses the kind of glory of God. Bethesda wasn't under Moses wasn't. It wasn't about it. Was about God. Moses and Bethesda and Moses' brother Aaron and Miriam and everybody else and all of the biblical characters, they all made themselves available. It wasn't about their ability to do. It was about their availability. See, in the kingdom, the way that you establish the kingdom of God on earth is for you to get out of yourself, for you to deny yourself, for you to pick up your cross, your promotion, and for you to follow Yahushua. That's how you build the kingdom. See, in the kingdom, it's a place where people, they deny themselves. They pick up their cross, which is their problem, which is your calling, which is your diaconia, which is your destiny, and you follow Christ. Now, the way that that is done is by first denying yourself. And how do you deny yourself? It's real easy when you see something bigger than yourself. So your job is to see your problem as your promotion and see your problem as a problem. So Yahushua didn't see his cross as a problem, he saw his cross as a promotion. So the metaphysics of understanding kingdom living is how to establish the kingdom of God in your heart, in your head, and in your gut. When you put the kingdom in those three places, what happens is you get promoted. And you get promoted to do what? Following Christ. Because he's the head. And what does that mean? That means you follow your intuition, because where's Christ? Christ is inside of you. We have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what does that mean? That means you have no compromise. Let me tell you these three things as we close. Number one, you have no compromise when it comes to your purpose. Now, you can compromise when it comes to people, but you cannot compromise when it comes to your purpose. And you're going to get tested. That's your cross. The cross comes when you get tested to put a person before your purpose. That's your cross. Don't believe me? Stick around. There's going to be a time, brother, there's going to be a time, sister, when there is going to be a person or there is going to be a place that wants to challenge your purpose. And it's going to be interesting because you got a choice. Because you got to, number one, in the kingdom, there's no compromise when it comes to the person of Yahushua or Jesus the Christ. No compromise. In the kingdom, there is no such thing as I'm trying, I'm praying, or I'm hoping. Them dogs do not hunt in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, everything is already done. In the kingdom, we're just walking out what God has already established because we heard his voice. See, in the kingdom, there's a different mindset. Why? Because in the kingdom, according to Revelation 21, it says, look, God's dwelling place. Now, remember, Bethesda in the Old Testament, he built a tabernacle. That was the dwelling place of God. In the kingdom, God's dwelling place is in your body. Been all of 2019 proving it to you. Because you have the sacral or the sacred sacrum. That's what you call your hip bone. But in your hips, at the base of your tailbone is something that very few people talk about. Because that's where the CSF, the cerebral spinal fluid, gets pumped up. Now, some people call that Kundalini rising. That is just a watered down term to throw people off the true anointing of how to establish heaven on earth. This is where the secretions or the secret ion flows up 33 bones that make up your spinal column or your spinal cord or your spinal antenna that activates the Golgotha or the skull, which is the tree of life, or the 12 cranial nerves, or the vagus, the V-A-G-U-S nerve, which is the pneuma vagus. Where we get the English word pneuma, which means spirit, or ruach. So the vagus, the V-A-G-U-S nerve, that's where there is a pulse generator, if you want to use that term. What Jacob said in Genesis chapter 32, verse 30, this is the place where I wrestled with God and I saw God face to face. This is the biological description of a spiritual process that activates the secret or releases the secret that's inside of the sacrum that activates, again, the kingdom inside of the brain, which is the 12 cranial nerves, or the crown chakra. And it is this process why Yahushua started and basically ended his ministry on 33, where I get my name, Master Teacher 33. Why? This is the mystery that has been kept in the dark for a long time, Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. And the word mystery means mist, which means water. Theory means story. Mystery means water story. My name is Bethesda. I am here to build a temple that houses water, that contains a story, because water holds memory. Inside of water molecule is the memory of everything that has ever taken place in all of recorded history. So when you're drinking water, that's why you cannot, but the Bible says you must be born of the water and the spirit. Flesh and blood cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Only the water and the spirit. That means when the water crosses the spirit, and the word spirit means pneuma, and the word pneuma is the pneuma cratic nerve that's inside of the body. So what does that mean in English? That just simply means that there is a way by which you are to activate, if you want to use that term, ascend, save, whatever word that you want to use, your calling, your anointing, your presence, your kingdom. This, my brothers and sisters, activates the crown chakra. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff I'm going to be breaking down as we go later on, but oxytocin and vasopressin that I talked about before, along with dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, all of the feel-good chemicals are only released when there's a certain amount of trust, or really faith, hope, and love that's maintained inside of the brain that causes these chemicals to be released into the body that allows you to access or to maintain a spiritual mindset. So that way, number one, there is no compromise. That way you don't fall prey to some of the other stuff that other leaders fall prey to. Number two, you got a can-do attitude. That means when somebody comes to you and say, hey, brother, can you do this? You say, I can do. Can you do that? I can do. Can you go here? I can do. Everything, the answer is always yes. See, in the kingdom, the answer is always yes. In the kingdom, the answer is it's already done. In the kingdom, the answer is every trial is a promotion. Every cross is my boss. In the kingdom, God makes me look good. In the kingdom, God makes me look like God. Because in the kingdom, notice where God's dwelling place is. According to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, God's dwelling place is now among, inside, or with his people. That's me and you. So where's God? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Revelation 21 says, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away their tears from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Brothers and sisters, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, you need to read that. You need to write that down. Get off your knees. Stop struggling. In the kingdom, there is no struggle. That dog's on hunt. I don't think so. You mean to tell me I'm with the king and I'm struggling? The devil is a lie. I don't think so. Not this dude. Hell no. It's a sea of affluence. It's a sea sea of abundance. It's a sea of prosperity. It's a sea of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's the kingdom. This is the metaphysics of kingdom living. The metaphysics of kingdom living is found in Revelation chapter 21, because guess what? The king is here. There's a new heaven. There's a new earth. There's a new city. I got new cells. Everything has been regenerated. Why? I heard a loud voice coming from the throne. So if you hear that voice coming from the throne, that's the frequency, that's the wave, that's the vibration of the pitar. He's sending out that frequency. That frequency hits your cranial nerves, and it says, "Great is he that's in me and he that's in the world." It says, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper. All who rise up against me shall fall." It says, "When I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will fear no evil." It says, "God before me, who can be against me?" It's the frequency of the kingdom that establishes a mindset that says, "I don't think so, bro." And you have a no-compromise mentality. You got a can-do mind. And you have a always yes, already done, I can't fail, all things are possible mentality. That's the kingdom. The kingdom starts in the mind. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom is here. You can walk into the kingdom anytime you want. All you have to do is one thing. Hear the voice coming from the throne. And it says, look, God's dwelling place is now. That means it didn't used to be. See, the kingdom of God is within. Now, there was a mystery. It used to be a mystery. It's not a mystery no more. I'm here to tell you the mystery. What mystery, Brother Will? What are you talking about? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 says, this mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it is open. God wanted everyone to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religion. Now, this is the New Living Standard of Colossians 1:26, because it explains it better. This mystery was a secret inside and out. That means it's esoteric and exoteric. Regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. Oh, so you mean it's just not for the dominant culture? No, boo-boo. It's for you too. That's what the Bible says. It's just not for Orthodox Jews. It's for you. It says, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the mystery in a nutshell is this. Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. Now, that's the New Living Translate. That's the New English Version of Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Let me tell you the mystery in a nutshell once again. Christ is inside of you. So therefore, now, this is regardless of your background or your religious standing. If you're on earth, the sun is releasing neutrinos, which neutrinos is in your skin. The skin is changing the photons into neurophotons. These neurological photons are going inside, and it's changing the mitochondria, and it's changing the nucleus. It's changing every cell in the body. So the human cell is now the holy city. And so now Christ is inside of you. We have this treasure hidden inside of you. Therefore, you and me, we both can look forward to sharing in God's riches. That means, oh, brothers, you can walk boldly to the throne of grace. You can walk boldly, or you can walk through the valley of shadow and death, and you can fear no evil. Why? You know God is with you. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot more. This is just an introduction to the kingdom mindset and the kingdom living, and to understanding the true principles of God. In the Talmud, it says that Bezaliel knew how to join together the letters in which heaven and earth were created. This is from a book called the Barashut, chapter 53, verse 1. Let me say this again in closing. This is why I'm here on earth. This is why I know, I don't believe, I don't wish, I don't dream. I know. According to the Talmud, and according to the Barashut, and according to the Kabbalah and a lot of other ancient texts, Bethesda could do something that very few, in fact, no other person could do. Now, this is an ancient document written plethora of years before the Bible was a thought form. And it says, Bethesda knew how to join together the letters in which heaven and earth were created. Indeed, he knew how to fashion the Ark of the Covenant. The story goes a lot deeper than that. But I'm going to save that for another study, for another time. Let me simply state, just like me, you have a high calling in Christ Jesus. You are a high priest. And it's time for you to pick up your mantle and start walking in your calling and in your anointing. I am here on earth at this time, sent by my Father to assist you with putting the letters together in order to establish heaven on earth. It's going to be an awesome ride. I hope you're ready. Brothers and sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33, a.k.a. Bethesdael. May God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, this is the part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, 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 ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
I'm gonna do this even after death. I'm gonna do this even after death. You can't match my death. I'm gonna do this even after death. I'm gonna do this even after death. You can't match my death. All you haters get up out my way, cause I'm about to wake. All you haters up, hop on it. Let's just ride the wave. You should really listen to this song, cause it's about you slaves. If you want your freedom, stop acting naive. Man, I'm talking naive. Ate it like a dry heat. Cause everything you need is hell right in. Man, I'm never right thing when I hit this machine. Swear I got it from my dad, how I got the gift of gab. Articulate, matriculate through 50 states. I'm just here to twist your fate, set it straight. I'm so great, gotta set a date, call me meditate. I'm so metaphysical, I'm the God, call me metafate. They told me not to do it, so I had to do it. I'm tired of all these people trying to be so fancy. You say a lot of stuff, but you don't mean nothing. So tell me how the hell you supposed to make advances. Advances, make advances, make advances. Advances, make advances, make advances. Advances, make advances, make advances. Advances, till a brother got it. They don't say nothing till a brother got it. I'ma pull up with the Corvette, cause I'm so fat. Yeah, you know I gotta give my check. Yeah, I'm so chest with the popped out like, yeah, it's me. All day, can't you see? That's me. All day, Super Saiyan like I'm Goku when I'm flying through the atmosphere. I'm about to clear everybody out of here, can't you see? I'm just killing all these rats with these raps clear. Can't you see? Can't you see how I'm right here? Told me not to do it, so I had to do it. I'm tired of all these people trying to be so fancy. You say a lot of stuff, but you don't mean nothing. So tell me how the hell you're supposed to make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances. They told me not to do it, so I had to do it. Tired of all these people trying to be so fancy. You say a lot of stuff, but you don't.